Okay, we're coming to a piece now that Cheryl and I talked a lot about, and that was, we really wanted some representation from those people that were with Michael at the very end, at the last part of his life. And so we asked Lorraine Hickey, Joel Winslade and Walter Bearer if they'd be prepared to talk, and they were actually pretty reluctant to do this because they didn't want to claim anything for themselves or any special place. But we felt it was really important in a gathering like this, when people are with us, who were there, have something to share. So those that teaching that day, that dinner, and Michael's last moments before he went to hospital, they're going to share with us briefly now.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Ena iwi ana mana, ena rea, tēnā koutou. I'm going to speak about Michael's last workshop on the 31st of March, and my guess is that many things that you will hear will echo for you many other workshops. For those of us who have heard Michael present many times before, there are reassuring reminders of themes we are familiar with. And there are also pieces of repetition that are striking variations. Little touches where he is playing with new thoughts. For example, his recent reading of Gilles Deleuze or his ongoing incorporation of Lev Vygotsky's notions of concept. Early in the day, he speaks about how we are all multi-storied. And he says he has never yet met a person with a single-storied life. On the other hand, people regularly present their lives as single-storied. He is never interested, however, in contradicting someone's conclusions about their lives. Instead, he advocates training ourselves to listen for traces of subordinate storylines. Traces. That is Derrida's term. You have to listen carefully to Michael to understand how he is using what he's reading. In lieu of contradiction, Michael inserts moments of irony. Michael is a master of irony, often using it to avoid getting bogged down in argument. He tells people in a little moment of irony in the workshop that they are welcome to keep their cell phones on as long as they are ready to sing along with the ringtone. Everyone laughs and switches their cell phones on. He is open about his ethical and political commitments. He speaks about his active opposition to the Vietnam War. It is current commitment to listen to Vietnam vets as a result of this. I reflect on this commitment to follow through, the close connection between his ethics and his politics. It always distinguishes Michael's work. Michael shows in this workshop two examples of his work on tape. One is a conversation with an angry Vietnam vet, in which an inadvertent comment about love leads to a conversation that enriches the concept of love for this man. The other is a conversation with a woman who has been subject to multiple abuses and resulting depressions. He engages her with talking about a book she has loved, 101 Dalmatians, and how it connects with what she stands for in life. Depression is elegantly outflanked. Even though Michael speaks of being drawn to stumbling conversations rather than those which are slick and polished. For the rest of us, it looks pretty slick and polished. A questioner asks Michael why he does not focus more on people's feelings. Michael says he is surprised by this question, especially when he has just shown an interview in which his client is crying, and he has been crying with her, and the experience seems to him emotionally transformative. What he does say, what he does reject, is the repressive hypothesis about emotional expression, so powerful in the history of therapy. He comments upon practices of empathy without condemning them, but he suggests that good counsellors could usually soon move beyond them. asking people how they are feeling, he suggests, trivialises feelings. He prefers the concept of resonance to that of empathy. At the end of the day, Michael makes a slightly unusual comment. He says he has run out of words. This is Michael being ironical again, surely. I shouldn't mention the word surely, should I? But we know he has many more things to talk about. Within hours, these words take on a different, much more terrible meaning. History moves us along. We are left to repeat his words now. And in our repetition, they will, of course, mutate and become different. The traces of his contribution to our lives will always be there. We are better therapists and better people for that. Haere atu ratarangatira, haere ki o mātua tupuna, haere, haere, haere.